Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Mark, chapter 13, verses 24 through 37. In his message titled 24/7, Reverend David Williams tells us that we live in a society where we are all constantly on. The constant stress and exhaustion we experience causes us to be ill-prepared for the big things that God has in store for us. We need to take a deep breath and make sure we are awake for the Lord's plan whenever it comes. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. Here we are gathered together in this space, decorated for this season, all green and alive and filled with promise. And it's very easy in this season to hear the music and hear the change and to think, oh my goodness, I just have too much to do. My head is going to explode. This season meant to remind us of how much goodness and possibility there is in the world, meant to remind us that God became Emmanuel, that God came to be with us, can so easily become a season of frantic, desperate, gnawing stress. And I know none of y'all feel that. But if you do, if there are ways that you feel pressed, the demands of tests and studying and work deadlines and everything weighing upon you, then join with me in praying the prayer of confession, because I know I feel it. Please, let's now pray as we come into God's presence seeking peace. Join with me. God of all things, in every moment, we confess that the rush of life can wear us down. We are expected to chase every instant, to seize the day, to grasp every moment, and it wears us until we're rubbed raw. Here we stand at the dawn of a season of rejoicing, and we're exhausted already. There are so many demands, so many expectations of us. There are so many places to be, so many things we must do, a great list that never seems to end, and Christmas barreling towards us like a semi. Help us in this time to find your peace. In Christ we ask this. Amen. Now listen for the assurance of God's gracious pardon. Who is in a position to condemn?
Only Christ,
who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. Our past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Our third scripture reading for this morning is drawn from Mark's gospel. I'll be reading from Mark chapter 13, verses 24 through 37. You can follow along on page 50 of your Pew New Testament. Let's now listen a third time for God's holy word. Jesus said, "But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and it puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. but about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow at dawn, or he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Two times in the last week, I've had the same phrase said to me. Once just in passing, and another time last week in the rush and craziness of preparing for the last of the shows that both of my boys were in, and it was a parent who was stressed and rushing and in a panic and moving things, and there were a million things to do before we got going with the last of the Sound of Music shows, and they looked at me and they said, I'm so tired, but that's all right. You can sleep when you die. That is not my favorite saying. Twice in a week, you can sleep when you die. And I like my sleep. I appreciate my sleep. I enjoy my sleep. I like the refreshing, invigorating nap. I like a good 8 hours. I like an afternoon where I'm lying there, my belly full of meat-like product and vegetarian gravy, and settling back and just letting myself drift away. You can sleep when you die. I can sleep right now. Come on. But that saying felt really telling for this season, because now, even though this is the season we're all supposed to be looking forward to, it's the season when we feel the most anxious. When we walk into the grocery store for that first time and it's Christmas music playing, and it's not quite Thanksgiving, it might be just a little bit after Halloween, and the Christmas music is playing, and it's warm, and it's, you know, Bing Crosby or something, like lightly in the background, and it might as well be, you know, those violins they play in a horror film, you know, when something's sneaking up on you, it has that effect. Oh no, it's getting to that time. Because as much as we celebrate this season, more and more it feels like this is the season when time is at a desperate premium, when we have a dozen events, multiple events. Our kids are in four places simultaneously. There are year-end work deadlines. There are preparations for gift-giving that we haven't even started. There are ways we have to prepare for family gatherings, and we haven't bought our tickets to go wherever it is we're supposed to go, and there are tests, and it becomes the season, so much of it. So much so that we start sharing war stories about our seasonal anxiety and overwhelmedness. I'm really stressed. How about you? Happy something. And that's part of this great surging demand of our culture. When work and school and 10,000 other expectations become the essence, the driving force of our life, as we are frantically rushing around trying to do everything and to be everything for everyone. We have to act now. We are told we have to just double down. We have to, you know, double down and lean forward until we find that we're doubled down and leaned forward so much that we're tumbling over. It's a strange thing. the intensity that this season can bring. But I think it mirrors a deepening reality of the culture around us, one that marks a change from a generation ago or more, as we live in a society when we're just never off. There's never a moment where we just go, eh. We're not. Everything is all the time. We are 24/7, always on, always going. We have to be ready to carpe diem. We seize the day, even though it isn't technically day, and what we're seizing is just us in line to grab that doorbuster flat screen at 1:30 in the a.m. on a Thanksgiving day. We're always going, always driving. And that just feels odd, and maybe it's just that I'm old now. I mean, that might be part of it. I'm just old. Old enough to remember when 7-Eleven opened at 7 and closed at 11. That's old. Old enough to remember a time when I was young and back from college and hanging out late into the evening with friends, there was just one restaurant nearby that was open past midnight. Just one. Of course, that's where we were. But there was just one. But now everything is going all the time. And on the one hand, that's supposed to get us excited. There's always opportunity. On the other, it can press us to always be connected, to know that our coworkers will get snitty if we don't immediately respond to that email that they send us about the meeting tomorrow. And yes, they sent it at 9:47 p.m., but they want that right now. The blurring of those demands on our existence just feels like it gets more and more intense. And we counterbalance that with all the tricks and hacks of our era, figuring out ways that we can cut corners, do things more efficiently, more effectively, make our lives even more productive. You know, I mean, we're in an era where families need software packages to manage their schedules, their online multiply shared calendars. I don't remember that again. I'm old now. That's a satisfaction. But it feels though we are more productive, more driven, that the faster we go, the further behind we fall, like we're living as the Red Queen in Alice in Wonderland, running faster and faster just to stay in place. And that's where we are, and it is tiring. And in the midst of that and facing this season, here comes Jesus. And he's like, you gotta stay awake. Stay awake. And we say, what? We're already trying to stay awake. You know, we're doing everything we can to stay awake. We're starting every morning, and we've got this giant bucket of coffee, and we're trying to figure out exactly how much of this liquid stimulant we can consume so we will be productive, but our heart won't explode. And you are telling us we have to be more attentive and more vigilant. Our whole lives can feel like we're trying to keep ourselves focused and going on and on and on. And we want a respite. We want a Sabbath. And now we can't nap? Jesus, come on. Telling us we have to stay awake. And so we need to listen and say, why? What is he saying here? And it comes to us, this little saying, stay awake, from a portion of Mark that's called the Little Apocalypse. It's an apocalypse. And because it's an apocalypse, we start out with wars and chaos and rumors of war and unpleasantness, trials and tribulations. It's jarring. You know, you come into Advent and everything's all pretty and the scriptures, the sun is dark and the moon's not giving its light and, suffering and unpleasantness. It's not very Christmassy. But it's what matters. Something important is going to happen, Jesus says. And he gives us this little apocalypse, this blessedly short apocalypse. Because anyone who sat through and worked their way through a little study we did on Revelation this last year knows that apocalypses have a tendency to go on for a while. They usually have bizarre visions of bizarre things. There'll be angelic intermediaries, clear judgment of bad folks, and a redemption of good folks. And Jesus gets to all of that, but he gives it to us in 8 merciful verses, not chapter after chapter of the beast rises out of the water and it's got 7 heads and the 7 heads have 7 hats and they have 7 feathers, each of a different form. No, 8 verses. He gets to the heart of it, telling us that there is an end and is a purpose, that there is some moment of completion that we're moving towards. He's giving us that conclusion. He's telling us it matters. But then he's saying something more important. It's not just that there is this reality that is coming into being, but it's that we don't know when. We don't know exactly when it's going to happen. So having spun out this apocalypse, he then starts telling stories. He tells a story of a fig tree. And then he says, it's like a man going on a journey, spinning out a story to interpret his story. And in this little snippet of a parable, he says, he leaves this man, he goes and he says, take care of the house while I'm away. Leaving those there with a simple instruction, do what you're supposed to be doing. When is he coming back? You don't know. And that is the tension Jesus is attempting to create, that certainty that the kingdom of God that he came to proclaim, a kingdom of justice and grace and love and mercy, is going to be fulfilled. And then to establish this sense of anticipation at its arrival. It's not a reality that happens at just one moment. It's not a reality that just there it is, and it'll happen and it'll pass on. It is a reality that we need to be aware of, to need to be attentive to as we live. As we live our lives here, as we live them now. Stay awake, he says. But how? How to stay awake? What kind of wakefulness, what kind of living is Jesus asking for here? This is a different kind of being awake. It is not the shimmering, juddering stress of our 24/7 culture. It is not the kind of wakefulness that you get when you are exhausted and you have had every cup of coffee you can possibly have. And you're not awake, the coffee is, and you're just shimmering and there and not really there. This is not the kind of wakefulness you have when you have anxiety, insomnia, when you are stressed, when you are pressed, when there's so much weighing on you that you couldn't sleep if you tried. You're flat on your back and your eyes are staring up at the ceiling and your wife is next to you and she's asleep, but you're there and you can't shut down because you can't rest. It is not that. It is not the wakefulness that comes from fear, from paranoia, because something could happen at any moment where you're reign of God paranoid, rushing around in hypervigilance like Mad-Eye Moody. You're just terrified. We are meant to be awake. We are meant to be attentive. But what that looks like, what Jesus is talking about, I am convinced, is nothing like this wild, churning stress fest that passes for a culture, the culture we live in. That doesn't feel like a kingdom worth proclaiming. There is no peace in that. There is no grace in that. Our 24/7 lives always on don't look like the kingdom I think the kingdom looks a little bit more like the book that our adult ed class gave a pass for today, so you didn't have to be stressed about reading. That would have been weird. This book called The Slow Church. How many folks out here are reading that as part of our study? If you aren't, think about reading it. This is a book about what it means to be awake and attentive to something that looks much more like the kingdom that we welcome in every Advent season. It's a book based on the premise, crazy premise, that maybe, just maybe, being awake and prepared for the kingdom is not quite the same thing as being stressed over a deadline or being stressed about a test. That it looks more like living a life that shows you know how Jesus asked us to live, both as persons and together in community. It means a gentle welcoming in of another kind of being, being awake to another way of living. It's a gentle, insistent thing. Being awake. Being aware of why you are here and why we are here together. It's a book worth reading, and I commend it to you. One of the most heartening things that I encountered when I read it was the sense of how much it expressed who we are meant to be and the degree to which, as I read it, I read that book and I said, I know a place that's kind of like that. I know a community that's kind of like that. I've had that response given to me from several of you. I recognize this place just a little, this kingdom place. And it's a place where people are awake to each other, aware of community, aware of the essence of how we are to live together in a way that is a different form of wakeness. Wakeness to grace and forbearance, wakeness to welcome. The kind of wakeness that invites in small, new, gentle things and helps them grow. If I'm hinting too much, it's here. You know, that's what I'm talking about. This place, this community, this gathering. And so as we move through this season, be aware of how much it can press on us. And understand that when Jesus says, be awake, be aware of what God is offering us, he's inviting us in to a new way of living together. Keep your eyes open for that. Set that before you as we move towards Christmas. Let that be so, for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
We gather together at its Advent, and we hear it sung in song. We hear Advent proclaimed. Who was that by, Monica? That little piece?
Diana Robin Dennis, 20th century.
You can tell it's 20th century. Was that an easy piece to sleep through? No. What that was, as we hear proclaimed this shimmering tension, very tense piece, filled with the disruptions and anxieties of the world expressed and re-expressed and re-expressed until it's almost this busy din that you can't separate yourself from. That's a lot like some of our weeks, right? Just God. And it keeps us awake and it keeps us tense and anxious, being aware of how much brokenness there is out there and how much we have to do and how much brokenness and how much. When Jesus says, stay awake, that's not how we're meant to feel. The wakeness that he calls us to is the kind of wakeness you have when you're doing something you know you're meant to be doing, that builds you up, that strengthens you, and that in the enacting of it brings us all a little closer to the place of gracious peace that Jesus calls us to. So as you step out into what I'm certain will be completely calm and placid weeks to come, be aware of what it is we are meant to watch for, what we're meant to attend to. Be awake to those moments of grace. Be awake to that kingdom that this season is all about, of God's presence written into the flesh, not just of one child, but written into the flesh of all people. Let yourself be part of that. Let that be coming to pass in you this season. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us this day and all days. Amen.